B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missanelli Show. Start of a great day and a lot of sports to talk about today. And we broadcast, of course, from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Welcome to everybody listening on radio and watching on TV. Well, it was a big test game on Sunday. Everybody was glued to it, including me. There is nothing that brings out the passion than a big NBA game involving the Sixers with me. I guess I've finally given it up. It's basketball, basketball, basketball for me. I coach every possession. When I'm watching a game like that, it's a big game that I know they need to win. I'm coaching every possession. Now, the Sixers win the game yesterday. Makes a great statement. And I want to know from you what that game did for you. Because it opened up a lot of avenues for people to think that, hey, you know, they can get to the NBA Finals. They can get through Toronto. And they can get through Milwaukee. One game is a regular season game, but it did make a statement in that the Sixers figured out a way to play against a Milwaukee Bucks team that didn't get anything else but Giannis Antetokounmpo. So, when we look at the game, here's my problem when I watch a game like that. I'm striving for perfection. And I know in an NBA game you can't get perfection. You got NBA players that are going to go awry every now and then. They're not coached to the letter like college teams are, like college players. When a coach is on the sideline and he's coaching every dribble. It doesn't happen in the NBA. I get it. And I'm watching the game yesterday and I go, all right, the Sixers have enough gas to win this game. And I'm thinking that the game probably should have been easier to win. Now, I don't know if I'm out of line by saying that, but what happened in that game was Milwaukee missed three-point shots. They got three-point shots all game. They missed a lot of them. You can credit somewhat the Sixers' defense for getting out on them, but not all the time. They were straight missing three-point shots yesterday. So I know the Sixers got a little bit of a break there. The other thing that, and I'm going over all the negative things, because these are the things that frustrate me when I'm watching a game, and even if the Sixers win, I'm writing like a coach, a list of things that they can improve on. This first thing that I looked at was, I know a lot of people were agreeing with me on social media yesterday. Ben Simmons was, for whatever reason, not engaged in that game yesterday. Now, there are two ways you can look at that. One is, hey, Mike, don't complain. He played the conventional point guard role where he got other people involved. But see, they don't need exactly that from Ben. They need more from Ben. They need a little more Giannis in Ben. Giannis comes down the floor and attacks every single time. And it doesn't matter who's in his way. For the most part, Embiid, early on in the game, bothered him a little bit. And they switched off to Ben Simmons. But he's attacking either way. And Ben did not have that mentality yesterday of attacking the basket. I don't know why, but I started to think about the same things I was thinking about when he faced Boston. For some reason, certain teams do something to him where he doesn't have that bravado, where he gets to the basket, Euro steps, gets a clean look, or dunks. Didn't see that yesterday from him. The other thing is, I thought Joel got a little too happy on the farm with the three-pointers. Shouldn't take 13 threes. Now, I know he made some big ones, and I know if you don't have the mindset to take those, you're not going to make them, right? So he had the mindset to take him. He made a big one in the end. But there are too many threes. It's just too many. And too many misguided threes early in the shot clock. And hence there was my other frustration. The Sixers were the lead, a healthy lead, a 10-point lead. The only way Milwaukee could get back in the game, if the Sixers fritter away possessions. And they did so at times yesterday. They were careless on possessions. They were jacking threes with 18 seconds left on the shot clock for no reason. Get control of the game. But they win the game. And Jimmy Butler was Jimmy Butler early, engaged early, and certainly engaged late. And he and Joel Embiid won that game for the Sixers in the fourth quarter. So what is the message that you got yesterday from that Sixer game? One game, but maybe bigger than that in the bigger scope of things as we head to the playoffs, because they conquered a mountain. Now, they did it without a very important player from Milwaukee, and he's going to be out for a while, so that helps the Sixers considerably when Malcolm Brogdon's not playing for 6 weeks. Tyrone, you kind of same with me. You're coaching the game along. We were texting back and forth, coaching the game. Why isn't Ben being engaged? What's going on with Ben? Why isn't he engaged?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. Although, when it got at the end of the game, though, I came out more positive than you did.
Okay, no.
Because I took it in its totality.
And I get it. And I'm wrong here. I'm wrong picking on things. But I'm picking at it like a coach.
Yeah.
Because I'm coaching every possession. And I'm getting frustrated because I'm going, this kid, they're up 10, they should be up 15. If they would do this, they'd be up 15.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
I totally get it. And the Ben Simmons thing is a bit of a concern to me, but unlike last year when you're playing against Boston, you had Covington and Dario as you're playing, you know, other than Embiid, who was wearing the face mask.
Yep.
This year, you got Butler and Tobias. And JJ will have more room because of Butler and Tobias. They can't just overplay him the way they did last year. But I saw the same thing with Ben Simmons. Especially early, because if Embiid's guarding the Greek freak, that means the defensive load isn't on Ben Simmons, so he should be able to flourish on offense.
Right.
So I did see that.
And how many times he took 13 threes, he did, Joel, posture himself at the top a lot in that game, which would not prevent Ben Simmons from trying to get to the basket. But Ben did the tentative dribble to the wall and stop. And look left or right instead of looking straight at the basket and maybe trying to use his athletic ability to get to the basket or get a foul like Giannis does every single possession.
Yes.
That guy is death.
Yeah, and I did like, though, what the Sixers sort of did. They didn't double him the whole game. And they were like, somebody else is going to have to beat me.
Yep.
And I do think that's the flaw with the Bucks in a 7-game series. I don't know if those other players are good enough to actually beat a good team in a 7-game series.
No, you're right. They've got to be making their threes to win. And that's one thing we saw with the Bucks yesterday. They rely on the three ball from everybody.
Yeah.
And when they're not making, and nobody made three balls yesterday for them, you know, the Sixers had the advantage the whole game. They went wire to wire, basically, against that team.
Yes. Now, after Friday, where the starting five gets you 99 points, and then with yesterday, where the Embiid and Butler get you 32 in the fourth quarter, the positive for me is this team can now overwhelm some teams with talent. And that's a really good thing to see. If they get guys going, I don't care who they play, and that includes Toronto, who is a tough matchup for them. Probably the toughest matchup, now that I look at it. The Bucks are not as tough a series as Toronto would be. And I'm not even sure if Boston will be as tough a series as Toronto would be, just because the way they play in the half court. But this Sixers team now, now we see all five guys playing together. They're now 6-1 together. They can overwhelm teams with talent, and that has me excited.
Yeah.
That's
a big win, man. I'm telling you. At the end of that game, I felt tremendous relief that they had taken care of that team. They had really gone wire to wire with them. They were the better team in the other team's home court. All that stuff was really good. I thought Brett Brown called some really good timeouts to stop some momentum that the Bucks had.
Oh, did he coach that game?
I'm all good. He did coach the game.
Oh, he doesn't just coach the losses?
He's not going to get any credit for it. But I kept, you know, I look at the game like a coach. Like, things can always be better. And I'm looking at them squander some opportunities. I'm looking Ben squander, like his bravado in that game last night. But I'm all good. It was a W, and I just want to see how people feel about what that W did for you as a Sixer fan. I get engaged, man. When they play big teams like that, I'm in.
You were laser focused.
I am totally in, man. I'm tweeting stuff. I'm yelling at you. I'm doing this, texting the cuz. I'm doing the whole thing. I was totally into it.
Yeah, I want to ask you about, and B, take out the three-pointers for just 1 second.
Huh?
This was the first time since AI, since we saw a guy who could just really, I don't know the last time, I guess Moses, a guy who could affect the game so much on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
That was really, really encouraging to see on both ends what he was able to do and meter out his energy because he had 18 in the fourth, so he was able to somehow have enough energy in the fourth quarter. I was also really encouraged with that. Because he's only on his fourth game back, and people thought, oh, he's out of shape, blah, blah, blah. Fourth quarter, he was still able to had enough gas.
Yeah, he was. He was great. All right, one quick thing about that game. I know it went viral, and it seemed cute to everybody, but what in the hell's Mike Scott doing taking a drink of alcohol during a game? Seriously, dude? Like, you can't smell that's alcohol? It's Jack Daniels, for crying out loud. In the middle of a game, take a sip of Jack Daniels? Was that protocol on a bench? Are they going to squirt that from the Gatorade bottle next time? I'm thinking to myself, all right, maybe it was Coca-Cola. If I was Jack Daniels, what the hell are you even thinking about, dude? That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen done.
I thought it was Coca-Cola at first. First, I thought it was beer when they just showed. I was like, all right, one sip, half a sip.
I mean, you can then smell what's in the cup.
Right, dude, he said it was Jack Straight, no ice.
Come on, dude. Really? Everybody thought it was Coca-Cola. It was so cute. It goes viral. Stupidity. And he got taken out of the game after that.
Had to.
Man, it's going to go right to your legs. Take a sip of Jack, it's going to your legs. In a basketball game, it's certainly going on to your, like, when your blood's flowing around. Come on, man. All right, congratulations to the Flyers. Hanging in there. And Bryce Harper, back in action. Still has had a knock. He had a knock in a minor league game today, but still hasn't.
Two now.
Oh, yeah, two knocks
two
in
now
a minor,
in the
league,
minor
game?
League game. Yeah.
All right, well, that's maybe, you know, he needs that down in the minor leagues, facing minor league pitching, because he's been facing hellacious starters, and he's been really late. And what else? Oh, the NCAA tournament. The Temple University Owls getting a play-in game where they won't lose to Belmont. But it's interesting they got in, and Villanova disrespected. You Cat fans on the main line ought to be outraged that they get a higher seed than Marquette after winning the Big East tournament. And Miss Natalie is back from her 7-week vacation in Florida. Hello, Nat.
I was only gone for a week.
It seemed like a couple weeks. You were gone for a long time. We missed you.
Thank you. I've heard a lot that people, you know, were wondering where I was. But it's only a week. Most people only take weeks vacations.
I know. When we take time off, to people, it seems like we've been out forever.
Yeah. It
because
was nice.
You're used to hearing us every day.
It was nice.
All right, here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. Active day of talk radio led by the Sixers. I'm going to remind you that starting tomorrow, we're going to play our Mike Missanelli Elitist Pool, which I do every year, where I get 33 teams in a plastic bag, and I give you a team to ride for the rest of the tournament. We'll do that tomorrow. The Elitist Pool, meaning only the first 8 seeds get in. And a one ticket that says the field. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. We're on 97.5 The Fanatic. We're on NBC Sports Philly. We're back after this. Time to update the Twitter poll. It's 4:30, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Miss Natalie.
Over 1,100 votes on this one so far. After the big win yesterday, are you ready to give Brett Brown credit? 71% say yes, good coaching. 29% say no, it was the players.
All right, this is how into the game I was yesterday, because I started tweeting Tyrone at 4:13 p.m.
Yeah.
All right, 4:13, the game started at 3:30.
Yeah.
All right, here's my first tweet to you. Ben not getting to the basket. You, nope, walling him off.
They were.
All right. Second tweet. Bleeping TJ. Two bad lobs and lazy D on that layup. You. Yeah, and then he had that stupid foul on Giannis to end the quarter at half court.
I hated that. I hated that foul.
My next one. Why that quick three by Joe? I like the quick three. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Too early in the shot clock. You go. Not sure. He's played his ass off, though, through this half.
He did.
Yeah, you had his back.
He did.
Next, pass low to Ben, and he passes it up. You, yep, I don't like that. later. Ben is killing me in this game. WTF. Go harder than 10. You, 4 points.
That's all he had at that point. He only had 4 points.
I go, he's back to that Boston bleep. Yep, can't do that. Has to be more aggressive. And then...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
A little later I go, Giannis just said he's a baby about Ben after that dunk. And you go, damn. He's not wrong, though. He punked him.
He did.
All right. We're getting back to the phones. I'm paying half attention to the high school stuff that's going on, right? And there's this kid that's playing for Coatesville who's averaging 43 points in the PIAA tournament. And they just beat Chester.
Yeah.
Right? He had 52. Now, he's being recruited by Ryder and Bryant University in Rhode Island. Now, how in the world does a school like LaSalle or St. Joe not take a shot at this kid?
What's his name?
His name is, what is his name? Jameer Brickus.
Coatesville?
Yeah.
Jameer Brickus is his name.
Now.
52 is 52.
Wow, that's right. Insane.
And he did it against Chester.
Right, and they're good. I'm out and about, and somebody who was at that game who I follow on Instagram went Instagram live at the game. So I'm watching the kid. I don't know if that's allowed or not. This kid's killing him. I'm like, well, how come I'm not hearing more about this guy?
I look around at these Division I programs, and there's always a small kid who's dynamic. I'm like, why wouldn't this kid fit in St. Joe or LaSalle? He could be a scorer at both those schools.
I agree with you.
If he has an acumen to score, like he might be just like Speedy Claxton good. You know how good he was in college?
Yeah, and when I'm watching it, he wasn't cherry picking or anything either, because when I heard a little bit about him, I'm looking at him. He's bringing it up sometimes. Yeah, he's getting people off the dribble.
I know he's 5'10", but he might be lightning quick enough to play at a higher level than Bryan or Ryder.
Well, look at that.
Ryder's
kid.
Pretty good ball. I don't know.
Ryder is Division I. They're good, but they haven't been in the tournament for a while.
Yeah.
Because look at that kid at Kentucky a few years ago, or Tyus Edney. You never know with those. There's little guys that can fit in college.
Yeah. 52, this kid.
Yeah, he was torching him on that Instagram live.
Let's go to Dave in Audubon. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Mikey Miss, how you doing?
What's going on, Dave?
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk a little Sixers, but before I did, a good friend of mine knows I'm a frequent caller of the show, and he made me promise that he would say hello to Natalie for him. So, Natalie, Hampy Corson says hello.
All right, Hampy. All right, nice job, Hamp.
Yeah, message delivered.
All right.
I'm thrilled about the win. I think they're finally playing as a cohesive unit, and my outlook for the playoffs is a lot brighter, and I'm not basing it just on that game. And I don't know how people can call in with negative outputs on the way they saw that game unfold, because they went punch for punch, and like you said, every time they responded, just about every time. Now, as far as Brett Brown goes, we've had this discussion before, and I know you're a logical guy, and obviously last year they got eliminated in the second round, and they have a much better squad this year.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get eliminated in the second round, changes needed to be made. Personally, if barring a totally embarrassing second round elimination, I am bringing Brett Brown back. Only because I want to see what this team... Well, first of all, I think the East may look drastically different next year. I don't know if Kyrie's coming back. I don't know if Kawhi's coming back.
Well, I don't know if Jimmy Butler's coming back.
I knew that was coming. That's correct.
this is the thing. If they lose in the second round, what's his enthusiasm for coming back?
2020, Mike. You called it. I
get it, but not a second round loss. Maybe a finals loss that goes to seven games. A second round loss. They didn't get past the second round last year. They got a better team this year. The coach has to be good enough to get past that second round.
I understand that, but there are variables. The East is considerably better this year.
Yeah, but the Sixers are considerably better.
Yes, they are, and I think they're going to make a decent run. I think they're going to make a decent showing. I truly do.
But you're allowing for a second-round exit. I'm not allowing for that.
But I just don't want to disrupt what they've got going. I don't know if it's because, you know.
Who's in the second round? What do they got going?
For time served, because he sat through all those tank years. I would.
Yeah. That's sentimental. I'll send him a Whitman sampler. And I love the guy. All right? But I'm not worried because he went through all the bad years. You got to deliver this year, bro. Sorry, Dave. I'm a little hard-hearted when it comes to this right now. They got a team on the cover, Sports Illustrated. I'm going to allow for them to lose in the second round? What's it get me? John and Emmaus, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Mikey, man.
What's up, John?
How are you, man?
Good.
Hey, listen, I'm so pumped about how the Sixers are playing. I'm excited about them. My wife and I watch them every night. We go down to a lot of the games. The two things about the team that worry me right now is when the game's close at the very end, Ben Simmons is afraid to get the ball. I think he's afraid to take the foul shots. You actually, if you watch him, he runs up court before we inbound the ball, or he inbounds.
Yeah, that's strategic. They want him to do that. They don't want him to get. They don't want teams to employ the foul ban. But for on his side, he has shot fouls a lot better.
I agree. I just think they're hiding him.
That's strategic. They are hiding him. They got Butler with the ball. They want to put the ball in their better foul shooter hands.
I know, but they struggled to inbound the ball on that one play, and they burned a timeout twice, so they didn't have a timeout to take. I just think when you have a guy that can't be on the floor to get a ball because you're afraid he can't.
Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave Ben Simmons off the floor?
No.
Well, what do you want? What do you want to do here?
I just want him to practice 100 foul shots a day.
Do you think he does that? I love people. People love that they know their practice habits. Like, I guarantee you, he's shooting a lot of jump shots. And he's shooting a lot of free throws. You can guarantee that. Now, in the game, his free throw shooting percentage has improved considerably. He's not taking the jump shot, but I don't have a problem with the way he's been shooting free throws lately.
They're burying him, and I guess they need to get it to Butler, to get it to Harris. My other point that I really struggle with is. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I got to tell you, I'm glad they're winning, but I feel like we're never seeing the five, starting five on the floor together. You know, even in a close game,
They're on the floor together in the end. I mean, you got to rest some guys. You got to keep guys in the 35-minute range. That's where you got. And yesterday, if you look at their minutes played, they all played like 35 minutes, all of them, all their starters. That's exactly where they want to keep him.
I just feel like I'm seeing TJ out there way too much.
Well, TJ played 18 minutes, and I agree with you that he plays a little too long. He took 10 shots yesterday. Jesus, that's a lot of shots for TJ McConnell. But that's where they want to keep him. And in the playoffs, they'll extend him more. You know, I mean, the reason why they hold him to 35 now is because they can stretch that to 38, maybe 40 some nights in the playoffs. 610-632-0975. The Eagles signed a safety who was a pretty good player. He was all banged up last year. So he missed a lot of time last year, Zendejo, but was a starter in this league and a pretty good player.
So that tells me they're not good. The kid's going to be the slot because the thought mm-hmm. was maybe he'll be a swing backup mm-hmm. safety. He's now your third safety. So the kid's going to be, and that means,
Maddox you're talking about.
Yeah, Maddox
will be the slot.
For sure. Yeah. And that means Jones is like, he's got one job. He's got to compete.
He's got to beat out Jalen Mills.
And or Darby or.
Darby's going to start. He has to beat out Jalen Mills on that side.
Okay.
All right? You got to start Darby.
Well, he might start. There was thought that maybe he'd be a pup guy early.
Who, Darby?
Yeah.
Possible because of the.
Because of the ACL, yeah.
All right. 610-632-0975. Mike Masnelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's on NBC Sports Philly. We're back after this.
Time for you to sound off. Sound off.
You gotta be faking me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this irritating?
number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's get going. Sound off.
Because I'm an idiot and I lose focus, I forgot to give away a pair of tickets to the Sixers game versus the Brooklyn Nets and one spot in our annual knockout
tournament.
We'll
do two tomorrow.
We're going to do two tomorrow, and we're also going to get start the elitist pool tomorrow. In this bag, this glassine bag here, which usually stores my frozen chicken, I have 33 tickets in here. The top eight seeds in every region in the NCAA tournament. So we'll give you a team to ride for the rest of the tournament. If you get the winning team, you'll get a big prize, which we haven't determined yet. So somebody will get a ticket and a pair of tickets to the game and a spot in our knockout tournament. Now it's time for Sound Off. 610-771-9705. Let's get right to it.
Mike, I'm looking over the box score for the Sixers game. Embiid took 31 shots. Butler 16, TJ took 10. The point is, Tobias Harris took 7. Hey, coach, when you go and learn how to use these guys?
Dude, they used them well enough yesterday to beat the Bucks by almost 10 or 5. All right, come on, man. Don't worry about it. All right, sometimes guys are going to have bigger games than other guys. It all comes around.
I've been screaming for Brett Brown all season long to unleash Jimmy Butler. Finally, I saw a glimpse of it on Friday night against Sacramento, and then yesterday against the Milwaukee Bucks, he finally did his job and let the man go out there and do his thing.
I agree. He was engaged early. I love to see it. Took the first shot of the game, took a couple shots, missed a couple, went to the foul line, seemed engaged early on. I think he got the message.
It is so annoying to listen to Brett Brown and Gabe Kapler's pressers. I'm not impressed by your correct sentence structure, your appropriate use of voice and diction, and how you articulate thoughts into words. Just answer the question the same way Dougie Pete answers them.
My man Dave just is never going to warm up to Kapler or Brett Brown. He just hates them both.
What did
Dave just hates them both.
What did Gabe do over the weekend?
He's not doing anything. He's not winning any games, but he's not doing anything to annoy you.
Is Brandon Brooks going to have a miraculous Achilles recovery and this all-pro guard position is absolutely of no consequence to the Eagles? The next time we talk to Sal Pell, mention that. Is that of no consequence at all?
Well, it's of consequence. I mean, they got a guy that they like who they think can step in for a little bit prior, right?
Right, but they expect, because he's already out of the boot, got a full 6 months, think Brooks is going to play.
They may draft somebody for depth, too. I think they'll be okay, but it's not a bad point.
I've been a Flyers fan for over 30 years, and I still cannot see what is so special about Claude Giroux.
What's so special about Claude Giroux? Is that what he said?
Yup, he's taking a shot.
Martinez is flipping out if he's listening. Claude Giroux is a very consistent, very good player for a lot of years in this league. He's not Mario Lemieux, all right? But he's a good player. He's always been a good player.
Played with the flu last night, too. Well, sucked it up.
There you go.
Zaire Smith needs to be playing games now. He needs to be in the playoff rotation because he's exactly what we need. An athletic guy who can make explosive plays and guard other players' guards, specifically Kyrie Irving. Zaire Smith is what we need.
Yeah, it's not going to happen this year, bro. Sorry. I don't think Zaire is going to get a crash course and be able to play meaningful playoff minutes in the playoffs. No, not going to happen.
Yeah, they might have crapped the bed on Thursday and Friday, but did you see them come out against Pittsburgh last night? Another last-second heroic by Cooch. Woo! We got our heart back.
Well, unfortunately, the heart's not going to be beating in the playoffs, but it was a good win for him.
You know, Mike, and we're going to rapid fire here. I agree with you about Jimmy Butler. I agree with that there should be no my bads in baseball, and it's perfectly okay to microwave a baked potato. You're 3 for 3.
Thank you very much. Well, microwave baked potatoes is the only way to go, man, unless you want to wait an hour for a potato to cook. I must have missed an hour to wait for potato.
I must have missed this conversation.
Yeah, you missed the conversation last week. I was saying you put the microwave. Irish, was it a violation of Irish people that you microwave a potato?
No.
No, of course not. On this day and age.
No, definitely not.
Especially when you have a potato bun.
Hey, Mike, wanted to get your thoughts on Temple's prospects in the tournament. If they get past Belmont, what do you think about their chances when the next round they face the winner of Monument versus Conshohocken State?
Well, unfortunately, you're going to lose to Belmont. But, you know, hey, they got in, and that's a good thing. Close it down, Tyrell.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com.
Got an OPD?
I don't like them.
What are the
because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your Sound Off gets on.
See you later.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.